Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back into another episode of Tide Talk Live. Stacey Blackwood joined, as always, by my good buddy Jake Thomas on Tuesday evening. Jake, there's been a lot of stuff going on over the last few days. A scrimmage happened, the final scrimmage of fall camp. Mm-hmm. Now the team is going to shift their focus, you know, kind of into game week mode. But as we kind of wrap up the fall camp portion of the preseason, Jake, we're going to discuss a little bit about the scrimmage, some certain position battles, and then at the end of the show, we're going to get to your bowl predictions, which is something we do before every single season here on our show. So, first of all, Jake, how are you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm doing great. You know, it's been a hot one in Alabama the last couple of days, and it's only going to get hotter. So, you know, just want to tell everybody, you know, make sure you drink plenty of water, drink plenty of liquids, don't sit out in the heat too long. Because, you know, heat exhaustion, heat stroke, all that is a real thing. And it's a silent, it's not really a silent killer, but I mean, if you don't realize that you're having a heat stroke, it could potentially turn fatal. So everybody stay alert this week and drink plenty of liquids and get in the shade when possible.
Yeah, for sure. That is, it's dangerously hot here in Alabama right now. So, and it's just going to get worse the rest of this week. But a lot to kind of unpack here on this Tuesday evening, Jake. Like we mentioned, the scrimmage happened this past Saturday. And now today on Tuesday, the team kind of shifts their focus to, you know, almost game week mode. They're not quite ready for game week because that won't happen until, you know, Sunday or Monday. But fall camp is officially over now that school is back in session. I think it's officially back in session on Wednesday. So, but the scrimmage on Saturday, you know, we're not going to regurgitate everything that's been talked about over the past few days. You know, with social media and message boards and, you know, everything right now, you know, everybody gets all the information they need instantaneously. So some of it true, some of it not, some of it exaggerated. We're just going to kind of unpack a few things, what we know happened at the scrimmage and what we've come to understand from Saturday scrimmage. And I think obviously the biggest thing is the quarterbacks, Jake. Mm-hmm. There continues to not be really any separation among the quarterbacks, but you know, all things considered, all inclinations are that Jalen Milroe is, while officially not QB1, he's likely to be the guy who gets the first snap against Middle Tennessee State.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. And, you know, I'm a Milroe guy, but I've also been a guy who said, you know, I'm going to get behind whoever the quarterback is. And, you know, I'm excited for the opportunity for Jalen. But, again, like you said, Stacey, there's been no separation really in fall camp. And that's kind of concerning, because I wish somebody would have stepped up and taken the reins and be like, okay, this is my team and you're going to rally behind me and then let's roll. But we still kind of have this uncertainty at quarterback. Like you said, Milroe is not officially, you say, QB1, but he is probably going to be the starter going into the Middle Tennessee State game. There's still ample opportunity for Buckner, Ty Simpson, and possibly Lonergan to make that next step and be QB1 throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's still an open competition. And you mentioned how, and everybody's talked about this, how there hasn't been any separation and people are concerned about it. And on one hand, I get that. You, in a perfect situation, you want somebody to make separation or create separation. But, you know, if I want to pose this to you, because, and I'm not saying this is the case, but I don't think any of the quarterbacks are playing poorly right now. I think all the quarterbacks are playing, you know, pretty well, and they just can't decide which one they're going to go with long term. Mm-hmm. So I'll pose it to you this way. Let's say, you know, Bryce Young and Tua Tagovailoa happen to be in the same recruiting class. They show up at the same time. Mm-hmm. And but you can't use what you already know about them. They're two freshmen who's never played before. And, you know, we're here a week before the first game, and Coach Saban's saying, well, there's no separation. Well, everybody would be panicking. But what you don't know is both guys are good.
Right.
So, I mean, so just because there's not separation doesn't mean that the guys are playing badly.
Yeah.
I think that it's actually says the opposite. I think all the guys are playing good enough to be the starter. So they don't know who to go with yet. And with Milroe being the elder statesman, the guy who's been in the program the longest, the guy who backed up Bryce Young last year, the guy who got the snaps with the ones in the spring, the guy who got the snaps all throughout fall camp with the ones, the guy who is, you know, throughout the scrimmages only scrimmaged with the first team offense. I think it's obvious, even though Coach Saban has not said it, that right now Milroe is the guy, even if it is just because he's been in the program longer than the other players.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. And kind of going off of what you said, you know, it's kind of a good, you know, we're maybe looking at it this the wrong way, saying it's a bad problem, but in hindsight, it's really a good problem that you have four capable guys at the coaching staff trust that can lead the team to victory each and every week. So trying to find that the one who separates himself, that's what they're trying to figure out. And I mean, I see it as a golden opportunity to have four quarterbacks that they trust that can lead the team each and every week.
Well, and look, all it takes is a guy to get in the game, whether it's Milroe right off the bat against Middle Tennessee State, or Ty or Buckner, or maybe even perhaps, you know, the freshman Dylan Lonergan. Mm-hmm. All it takes is for that guy to, when he gets on the field, to make the statement that this is my team.
Right.
And I for one am comfortable that Alabama can win a ton of football games with any of those guys. Mm-hmm. That we've talked about that a lot on this show, about how I think the team around the quarterback position is better than what it's been the last couple of seasons. Bryce Young has really carried the team over the past couple of years, especially last year in 2022. You know, in 2021, at least he had Mechie and Jamison Williams to kind of throw the ball to when he was under duress. And last year, you know, it was kind of a receiver by committee approach, and the offensive line, you know, even though it was better than 2021, it still was not up to that Alabama standard. So, and the running game was not quite to that Alabama standard. So Bryce had to kind of cover up a lot of deficiencies that the rest of the offense had. I think around the quarterback entering this season, and that includes the defense, is a little bit better than what it's been over the past couple of seasons. And I think that means that the quarterback, you have a little more wiggle room in what you need from your quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that, Stacey. And, you know, another thing that has been, you know, we have seen that's been kind of concerning is all the drops. But again, if you have two or three quarterbacks playing with the ones, you can't get that feel of the game as a wide receiver with that quarterback, because you know one has a different throw motion and he may know where you're going to be at, and the next guy you've kind of got to lead him to that spot, and he may not know that. So you know, don't really look at the wide receivers as drops as a negative either, because I think once we do establish who the quarterback's going to be for the remainder of the season, the timing is going to get down, and I believe the drops are going to be a non-issue.
Yeah, I would be lying if I said I wasn't, you know, slightly concerned about the drops, but I'm not really worried about it because, right. Look, Jermaine Burton, Ja'Cory Brooks, they're proven guys, mm-hmm. And the rest of the guys are young players who are really, you know, acclimating to the college game, and I'm confident in their abilities. They're all highly recruited kids. They're going to figure that out. I'm confident in that. And one more thing I want to say about the quarterback position in particular. I have heard more than one Alabama fan complaining that Nick Saban is not named a starter, and then they bring up the fact that Hugh Freeze is named a starter and that Kirby Smart is named a starter. Okay, first of all, what does that have to do with Alabama? Why is that relevant to Alabama's quarterback competition?
Right.
Nick Saban, anytime there has been a quarterback competition at Alabama under Nick Saban, he has never named the starting quarterback ahead of the game, the first game. Never, not once. Mm-hmm. In fact, A.J. McCarron, 12 years later, mm-hmm. has not been named the starting quarterback for Alabama. If you guys remember back in 2011, mm-hmm. it was between A.J. McCarron, a redshirt sophomore, and then a true freshman in Phillip Sims, or maybe he was a redshirt freshman, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. It was between Phillip Sims and A.J. McCarron. Coach Saban never named a starter. Both guys played in that first game, and eventually A.J. McCarron just took over that job, won a couple national championships, and was, you know, a kick six away from playing for a third straight. So that's not the only one. Go back to, you know, Blake Sims and Jake Coker. You look at Blake Barnett, Jalen Hurts, Cooper Bateman, all those guys. He's never named a starter entering a season where there was a quarterback battle. So I don't know why everybody thinks it's relevant just because Georgia and Auburn has named a starter that Alabama all of a sudden has to. Oh God. I mean, do you think Nick Saban cares if Georgia or Auburn's named a starter?
No.
Do you think he even knows?
Probably not.
Okay.
I bet he don't.
I mean, it's totally irrelevant to Alabama.
Yep.
I mean, right. Georgia's not even on the schedule, and Auburn's not on the schedule to the 11th game of the year, or the 12th game of the year. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I mean, good grief! Like, I wish fans before, I hate to hammer on fans, and it's not just fans; it's a lot of analysts too, that are, you know, both around the SEC and nationwide. I wish they'd do a little research and a little history lesson before they just spout it off. Right. Nick Saban, like I'll say it one more time for those in the back. Anytime Alabama has entered a season with a quarterback competition going on, Nick Saban has never named the starter.
Right.
Before kickoff. Never.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know why everybody thinks this year will be magically different.
Yeah.
That's a little soapbox issue for me. Yeah. So,
it was pretty funny when you was naming all the accolades that A.J. McCarron had, and after you said that, I was thinking, and the rest is history, because it is. I mean, what happened lives in history now. So, we got some comments already. Mamba says can't wait. Roll Tide. Bob said Roll Tide. Roll Rich Early. Roll Tide from Rome, Georgia. So boy, he's in.
He's surrounded by the enemies.
Yeah, exactly. So
thanks for joining everybody.
Yeah, keep that Roll Tide faith in there in Rome, and maybe we convert some people.
The quarterback competition. I've felt the same way about it, you know, since Bryce Young announced he was leaving for the draft. I thought it was likely that it was probably gonna be Milrow to begin the season. And then eventually, you know, maybe Ty Simpson or somebody else could potentially take over. But right now, you got to roll with Jalen Milrow because he's the guy who has been number one all throughout spring and all throughout fall. So he's a guy that I think has a lot of potential and a ton of upside. because of his ability to run and move the chains with his legs. If he can just be a consistent passer, both in the intermediate and the you know, the play action passing game where he's taking a deep shot, if he can be consistent in that area of his game and just take care of the football, he will be more than capable of leading this Alabama offense. And I think we might have lost Jake, but we'll carry on for a minute. Yeah, let's keep Rich says tied for life. Awesome. We're going to work to get Jake back in on the show here in just a minute. Both of us have had internet issues. It's been a common theme for us lately. We're hoping that gets resolved here in the next week or so. But excited about the season. Of course, the scrimmage is a lot. That's what people want to talk about. But look, you got to take a scrimmage for what it is. It's a glorified practice. You know, there was some people in the stands, and you know, a lot of stuff got out on message boards and on Twitter and Facebook and whatnot. But you know, I think Coach Saban tells everybody more than what people think when he speaks. And I know a lot of concern has been about their drops from the receivers. And like I mentioned just a minute ago, and Jake brought up the point that, you know, they're receiving the ball from four different quarterbacks really at this moment. So, you know, every quarterback has a different arm angle. Every quarterback has a different release. So that ball gets to him differently every single time. I'm not making an excuse for him, but you know, there's always a reason for something. So, just keep that in mind when you hear about the drops. And like I mentioned, Corey Brooks, Jermaine Burton, they're veteran players in the SEC who have caught a bunch of passes in college football. And then, like I said, the rest of the players are young players who are really molding into what they're going to be here at the college level. And I have all the confidence in those guys, and I think they're going to be really good players. And, you know, they may not be that elite special top talent like we were used to seeing with, you know, Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, but they're all really good players, and I'm excited about that receiver room and the upside that it has. And as soon as we get Jake back in here, if he can get his internet recovered, we're going to look at the offensive line and just really specifically that left side. You know, a lot has happened throughout fall camp. You know, it started out with Darren Dalcourt at left guard, then Terrence Ferguson took over at left guard. Elijah Pritchett and Caden Proctor were battling out for left tackle. Well, then Saturday scrimmage rolls around, and you really kind of found this out early last week through some photos and videos that the program released, that Tyler Booker has moved back to left guard. So now it's from left to right. It's Caden Proctor, Tyler Booker, Seth McLaughlin, Darian Dalcourt, and the J.C. Latham at right tackle. So Booker has made that move to left guard, probably to help out Caden Proctor, the freshman, a little bit with his calls and his assignments there on the left side. But you know, I think Terrence Ferguson is a guy who people were getting really excited about, maybe possibly starting there on the left side. He has worked exclusively at left guard or center in his time at Alabama. So I think it'd be too big of a transition for him, you know, over the next 10 days to jump to the right side. But I think throughout the season, that's something to watch, is for the possibility of either, once Proctor is comfortable at left tackle, moving Booker back to right guard and inserting Terrence Ferguson at left guard, or maybe, you know, getting Ferguson some reps at right guard so he can eventually take over for Dalcourt, who I hate to rain on the parade of Darian Dalcourt. I think he's a good player. I just don't think he has quite the upside or the physicality that a guy like Terrence Ferguson has. So I'm still watching for Terrence Ferguson before the end of the 2023 season to find a starting role, or at least a lot of reps there with the first team offensive line before the season's over with. I think we got Jake back. Gotta love that internet. Yeah. Gotta love Wi-Fi, buddy.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. Man, I'm still waiting on Flash Fiber. Come on, Joe Weather, get that through my area real quick.
Good night. No kidding. Okay, Jake, yeah. I was just I briefly, while you were gone, I wrapped up the quarterback conversation, and mm-hmm. I've kind of moved along to the offensive line, and you know, Booker moved to left guard. Dalcourt's a right guard. As you look at this left side of the offensive line, Jake, with you know, Caden Proctor at left tackle, Tyler Booker at left guard, how are you feeling about it with, you know, about 10 days or so left before kickoff against Middle Tennessee State?
Yeah, man, I'm excited about this offensive line. You know, we've talked about numerous times about the physicality coming back, the toughness, the meanness, and if all signs point to Proctor starting at left tackle, moving a I would call a leader, a veteran leader, even though he's still young, relatively, Tyler Booker, it definitely help solidify him, and at least he'll know his assignments and get him right. And by the time, you know, Auburn comes around, you know, even later in the season, you will have a veteran left tackle there, even though he's a true freshman at left tackle. So, you know, it's great to see. I'm okay with Dalcourt starting. I feel like T. Ferg will be probably at that right guard slot by the end of the year. He's another guy I feel like is just too talented and eventually going to make his way into the starting lineup.
Jake, I don't know if you noticed that Coach Smook is in the house. Good to have you, Coach Smook. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I kind of mentioned the same thing, Jake, that tell Jake to let get a dip off of. I talked about Ferguson a little bit, how he's worked exclusively at left guard and center in his time here at Alabama. So the transition to right guard probably a little bit too much over the next 10 days. But I do think there's a possibility that he could be taking over either that right guard spot from Dalcourt before the season is out, or there's a possibility that once Proctor is comfortable at left tackle, you know, they move Booker back to right guard and then put Ferguson in there at left guard, because Ferguson is a mover. He is a body mover, especially in the run game. And I really think that he is a guy who's, before the season's out, is going to be, you know, a player to watch on that offensive line for Alabama. I think Alabama has, you know, six or seven guys on that offensive line who are capable starters, you know, if you include Terrence Ferguson and even an Elijah Pritchett there as that seventh guy. And then after that, Jake, you got some other freshmen that, you know, in worst-case scenario, they may have to play, guys like Wilkin Formby, Miles McVay, Oleus Alien. So there's some talent there. It's just a lot of young faces after those first six or seven guys.
Yeah, I agree, and I love Coach's comment there. I think it's a thing of giving Dalcourt a chance to lose a job. He is a veteran guy. He's been in the program for a while, so you know, I hate to say this, and you talk about being a weak link, but you know, I don't want to really count him as a weak link. But if you look at the offensive line, that his position is the weak link. I just don't know if he can get mean enough like we want him to be, and how this offensive line is going to look going forward. I do know that Terrence Ferguson will be a mean guy and push people out of his way. I just don't know if Dalcourt can get to that level. If he can, he's going to be really good, but I just don't see it.
Well, look, Dalcourt is a guy who's – and Coach Smook makes a good point. He had a really good sophomore year. And look, he's a guy the coaches have been high on since he arrived on campus. So I don't want to dismiss him too early or too easily, because the dude can play. I mean, if he starts against Middle Tennessee State, that will make three seasons in a row that he was a game one starter for Alabama on the offensive line. So that's saying something. So at a place like Alabama. So I want to give Dalcourt his credit. And
please don't tell me I lost the internet again. I don't know. Can y'all hear me?
I'm all for him getting that first. God, there it is. I think that was mine that time.
Oh, this is bad. Anyway, so yeah, you're right, Stacey. I want to give Dalcourt his credit, because, like you said, he is a, you know, he's been in the program for a while, and he's been given ample opportunity, you know, to be a starter in this line and in the offensive line. One thing I do want to mention, I feel like T. Ferg can have the kind of season like Booker had last year. He didn't start, but in the game, he was in the game, maybe after the second or third series. I think Booker come in after the second or third series and just played the rest of the game. I feel like T. Ferg can be that guy this year.
Well, and you always need depth. I mean, worst case scenario for Ferg, he's the sixth guy. And he still plays a ton of snaps, and he just gets ready to be a starter next year. That's, you know, I mean, that'd be good for Dalcourt. And then the fact that Ferguson gets some reps in a reserve role. And, you know, if you're a sixth offensive lineman for Alabama, you're going to play a bunch of snaps. So Just be ready, Ferg, because his number could be called at any time. But Coach Smook said, I just want Book and Latham on the same side. Yeah, I think in a perfect world, that's what we would get. And I think eventually we will probably see Booker make that move back to the right side, simply because I think Proctor just needs a little bit of time to process and learn what he has to do in his assignments. And because we know the dude can block, it's just about doing his job. And that's a big piece of the puzzle of the offensive line.
Yeah, I agree. And like you said, Stacey, it's good to have depth. So, you know, you feel like you need two or three offensive linemen ready to go just in case, you know, injuries do occur, God forbid.
Yep, no doubt. All right, Jake, look, we talked about the quarterbacks, the offensive line. We dabbled on the receivers. Anything defensively that you want to discuss before we get to your bowl predictions?
One thing that was coming out of the scrimmage that we had seen and we had read about was Tim Keenan being you know, one of the starters. And apparently Otis, they got put out wide, and Keenan was man in the middle. So I feel like that may be a bright spot if, you know, if he comes on. And then our second unit coming in with Tim Smith, Latham, Payne potentially as well. You know, a lot of people give the defensive line a bad rap because, I mean, they haven't been playing their best the last couple of years. But this defensive line is talented. It's very talented. It just got to get it all together. And I feel like Otis is due a breakout season. We know what he can do when healthy. Tim Keenan, I think, is going to be a great fit in the ones as well. So I'm excited about this defensive line. Then there's a lot riding on Roach to get this group ready to go this year. So I feel like he's going to get them ready to go, and you're going to see a different defensive line this year for sure.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on the defensive line about Tim Keenan. I think he was, mm-hmm. you know, one of the risers from the scrimmage. I think another defensive player who kind of made noise was a guy like Jalen Key there in the back end mm-hmm. of the defense, playing multiple spots. Most likely going to end up playing safety alongside Caleb Downs. And then Coach Smook wants to know about the inside linebackers.
Oh, yeah.
Jake, I'll let you go first. What's your take? What type of rotation do we see, if any rotation at all, with Marshall Campbell and Jefferson?
You know, we have talked about it, Stacey. This could be like a situational type deal for the inside linebackers. Like maybe, you would have Marshall going out, but like in a third and long situation, you need some pass rushers to get to the quarterback. You may see Campbell go in. And then of course Jefferson as well. He can get to the quarterback. He's just he finds a ball and he's just a heat-seeking missile. So I feel like later in the year, it's going to be very hard to keep him off the field. But Trez Marshall, I feel like, is going to be a good fit with this team. You know, we've seen some out of fall camps. I think it might have been the first scrimmage. He actually had an interception. So, you know, there's a lot of good, you know, we know what Lawson can do. Lawson's going to be a stud inside linebacker. Who's going to spell him on his opposite side? That's what we need to figure out. And we got three great guys there who can do it. So I'm not really worried about the inside linebackers.
Yeah, that's one of the best. I think linebackers as a whole, if you include the inside and outside, mm-hmm. that's one of the strongest position groups on the team. You think about Deontay Lawson. I mean, I'm not just saying this. He has All-American potential. I think a guy like Jihad Campbell is a player with maybe as much upside as anybody else on the team, regardless mm-hmm. of position. You look at Trezman Marshall, a veteran SEC player, familiar with this scheme coming over from Georgia and Kirby Smart. So a guy who's going to know how to do his job and what's expected of him. And then you look at Justin Jefferson, a guy who is just an elite athlete, maybe not too big, but just an elite athlete. He's a guy who sees ball and gets ball. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's room for all four of those guys to play if they take that by-committee approach or a rotational, situational type thing. I would be comfortable with any of those four guys being on the field, but I think that's one of the best position groups on the entire team. And I think Coach Steele and Coach Robert Ball are excited about what they have with those four players. And then you think about other guys on the team, like Sean Murphy, a young player who's still developing and maturing, a guy that could be a future star down the road as well. So I have high expectations for the inside linebackers in 2023.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how this position and group plays out. You know, all the inline, you know, linebackers, you know, outside from Braswell, Turner, and then Lawson, and whoever starts at the other inside linebacker position. That's probably one of the best in the country, I feel like. And I'm not trying to sound like a homer, but, I mean, you got to say it is. I mean, it's really talented at those positions.
Well, when you recruit like Alabama, it's not being a homer when you say they have some of the most talent in the country. I mean, it's right. A fact.
Yeah, you're right about that. So,
yeah, I'm excited about that group. They have a chance to be really, really good. Hey, Coach Smooks had a couple good questions. So if you have any questions before we get to Jake's bowl, please let us know. If you're new to what we do here at Tide Talk Live, we every year before the season gets started, Jake is all about bowl predictions and kind of hot topic items and stuff like that. So every year, Jake gives us a handful of bowl predictions before the seasons. I think you know, when we were early on in our show, one of his biggest bowl predictions was that Trey Sanders would win the Heisman. And then I think like the next week is when Trey Sanders had his first injury at Alabama. Yeah. So hopefully that bad mojo is gone and we can have some fun with this, but it's something we enjoy doing, kind of a good, here's a question. Is Caleb Downs starting? Yes. He will be a starter.
Yep. And Brock also had a question.
What kind of plays do you think Tommy will have for Milroe? It looks like he's going to start. I think the plays are for Milroe will be what the plays are for everybody else. Alabama has a certain system. Now he may call a few more runs for the quarterback than what he might for the other guys. But let's not forget those other quarterbacks are really athletic as well. I mean, you look at what Tyler Buckner did at Notre Dame. He ran all over South Carolina in that bowl game. But Ty Simpson is a great athlete. Denton Larnick is a great athlete. So I don't think it would be too much different, you know, for Milroe right. than it would be. I wish we had Jalen Hurts this year. I wish we had this year's version of Jalen Hurts on this team. I don't think there'd be anybody that could beat Alabama.
Yeah, you're right about that.
But I don't want to get too lost in the chaos with who the quarterback is, because Alabama's system is Alabama's systems. Sure, they may run two or three more quarterback design runs maybe with Milroe that they might not run for other guys, but those other guys are athletic too, so I think they'd want to feature that part of the game as well.
Yeah, and Tommy Rees.
Great question, though.
Yeah, and I just want to reiterate that Tommy Rees even come in when he was at, you know, the one time he's allowed to speak to the media, somebody kind of asked him about his system, and he said, why would I bring my system in that, you know, and change the way it's been run for the last, you know, 20 years, you know, or 15, 20, 18 years under Saban. So, he knows the system. He's had to adapt to Alabama's system, not Alabama having to adapt to Tommy Rees's system.
Yeah, no doubt.
So,
let's see here.
Glenn's got a comment here.
Okay, this is an interesting one, because I was fixing to ask you, Jake, and kind of ask everybody there in the chat, if I think we all know that Milroe is going to be QB1 against Middle Tennessee State, or at least take the first snap against Middle Tennessee State. Let's say, you know, pretty much, I mean, we're going to beat Middle Tennessee State. You know, I don't think Nick Saban watches the show, so this is not rat poison. But
if he does, that's great.
Yeah. If you're watching, Nick, thank you.
Yes.
But now I think all the quarterbacks are most likely going to play in that game. Yeah. But, okay, let's say Milroe is obviously the first quarterback against Middle Tennessee State. But if Milroe does not secure the job and you had to pick one of the other three quarterbacks that you think would be the starter for, you know, maybe not Texas or just for the remainder of the season after they decide to move on from Milroe, who would you go with?
I think it has to be Ty Simpson. Just my honest opinion. I know Buckner come in and he's fighting for a job. And, you know, a lot of people is like, well, he come in for, you know, just to, I guess, a lot of fire under those two guys. But, I mean, he didn't come in not to win the job. So, you know, he wants to be the QB number one. I mean, when you're QB number one at Alabama, it gives you a lot of credibility, you know, in the NFL and to scouts and stuff, because, I mean, it's Alabama. But I feel like out of what we have seen, Lonergan is coming on so strong, but he's still going to be a true freshman. And throwing a true freshman out to Texas early on, I just don't think it's going to be great to do. So I feel like if Milroe can't secure the job in week one, you give Ty a chance. So at some point in the Texas game, if the team's struggling to move the ball, you got to change quarterbacks and get some kind of momentum. Hopefully Ty is that guy. Because I feel like you said, Stacey, Ty is probably one of the most gifted throwers on the, you know, out of the quarterbacks. And he's also a great athlete. You know, a lot of people was talking about, you know, Milroe is a guy who can run. Yeah, that's true. But Ty, wasn't he like the number one dual rated, you know, quarterback coming into college? So, I mean, he can run as well. So I don't think the game plan will differ too much between those two guys.
Yeah, you know, I've said for a long time that I think eventually the job will be won by Ty Simpson. And, you know, I'm not going to go back on that. I'm not saying, am I as confident in that as I was a few months back or even a month ago? Probably not, but I'm not much less confident in that. But I can't sit here right now, and I can't believe I'm even saying this, but I think Tyler Buchner has a better shot than what I originally gave him an opportunity for. He led a 90-plus yard touchdown drive in the scrimmage with the second-team offense against the first-team defense. You know, he didn't do anything spectacular from what's been reported from the scrimmage on that drive, but he just made the plays that were there.
Right.
And when I think about what Alabama needs in a quarterback this year, it's make the plays that are there because everybody else around you is going to get their job done.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying it's going to be Tyler Buchner. I'm just saying right now, I can't believe I'm saying this because I never would have said this 2 weeks ago or even maybe a week ago. But right now, I think Buchner has a better shot than what he did a couple weeks ago. I still think that Simpson's probably slightly ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Buchner has improved. I think that a lot of that has to do with the fact that he's been with the guys a little bit longer now. He feels more comfortable, you know, in the system and with these particular players. So, I don't know. I think it would be Simpson if they went with a different starter, in week two, but, with the way Buchner has improved throughout fall camp, I wouldn't write him off yet either. And then you look at the young gunslinger, Dylan Lonergan, Jake. He's a guy who I think is a future star. I mean, I really believe that. He's a future star, whether it's at Alabama or somewhere else. I think the dude is going to be a star.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Whether he gets to play this year or not, we don't know. I guess we'll wait and find out. But that dude's going to be a really special player for somebody. Hopefully it's Alabama.
Yeah. Brock says he thinks all three quarterbacks will see snaps against Middle Tennessee. Probably all four of them probably see a little bit.
I almost tend to agree with Brock, and just for this reason, because if the other three guys are playing well, do you really need to play a freshman?
Not really.
No, so I agree. But I wouldn't be shocked to see all four guys.
Yeah.
Brock says, "Who starts against Texas week two?" I'm gonna go Milroe.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick to Milroe. But like I said, if the offense is not performing like it needs to, and he's not making the plays, you may see Simpson come in probably second half, and hopefully take over that game. Mamba says the Texas game already makes me nervous. I don't want to spoil anything, but I got a bold prediction about that game. So.
Well, shoot. Let's just unless anybody's got any more questions, and y'all feel free to drop your bold predictions. Like I said, this is just kind of something fun we do to pass the off season. I don't know about you, Jake. I'm so ready for September 2nd.
Oh my gosh! You know we got football this weekend. So you know I know it's just Vandy and Hawaii, but I will watch that game on rerun just because it's football. You know, so I've already got it set to record. So you know. I'm excited. Hey,
by the way, a little programming note here. We won't be doing a live show this Saturday morning because I have to work this weekend. So the next Saturday, September 2nd, the real first Saturday of the college football season, make sure you are tuned in here for a live show ahead of that monstrous and glorious day of college football.
And if your work makes you work that day, just call in sick.
Oh, I will not be working that day.
You've already told him I'm not working.
And that day. And if I have to quit, I need y'all to send me some money. I got bills to pay.
That's right. So, you want me to go ahead and start, you know, predictions?
Yeah. All right. So we're going to roll into Jake's bowl predictions for this year. How many you got, Jake?
I got five.
You got five. You're going to start at number five.
Yeah.
Work your way down. All right. Number five. What we got, Jake?
These are SEC bowl predictions. Also got a couple of Alabama ones too. But number five.
Okay.
Vandy wins seven games plus their bowl game and wins eight and has eight wins on the season.
Whoa. Vandy, eight wins on the season. That is bold.
Well,
Vandy having any wins in the season is bold.
Let me just say also, I didn't put this in here, but if Vandy does win eight games, they're going to have a hard time keeping Clark Lea there.
Oh, he's gone.
He gone. If he can take that Vandy team and win.
I mean, think about this. That school is so backwards. They started a stadium renovation 2 weeks before the season started.
I know. It makes no sense. So that's number five.
That is like a 10 out of 10 on the boldness scale.
Yeah. Exactly.
Vanderbilt wins 10 games. All right, what else you got, Jake?
They get better. The first one for Alabama. Alabama will have – I did this because, you know, we talked about I feel like we're going to run the ball a lot more this year. So I feel like Alabama will have two running backs over 1,000 yards rushing and another one with at least 750 yards at the end of the season.
Jeez, my Lord.
I think it's all capable. I mean,
I want you. I'm looking up something.
All right, go ahead.
I want you to repeat that.
Okay, Alabama will have two running backs over 1,000 yards rushing, and another with at least 750 yards at the end of the year or in the season.
Jeez. Okay. I'm going. Let me just look real quick, trying to figure out exactly. All right, last season, Jake, Jahmyr Gibbs led the team with 926 yards rushing. Mm-hmm. Jace McClellan had 655, and the next close had 250, and that was Roydell Williams.
Mm-hmm.
So, not only did Alabama not have a 1,000-yard rusher, they didn't have a guy that had – they only had one guy that eclipsed 750 yards. Mm-hmm. So, that is a massive bowl prediction there. But I wouldn't. That is a man.
I mean, you know what Justice Haynes can do. We've already talked about him exclusively, and we know what Jace McClellan can do. Jace can break an 80 to 85 yard run just like that. And if he does it every game, I mean, he's already getting close, you know, just by his season totals. So and then Jim Miller has come on so late, you know, last year. I think he's going to be a special part, and he's so quick and so I guess he's like he's hard to see coming through the line because he's short stature, so he can bust a couple of plays as well. I feel like so I think that the two Haynes and Jace will get the 1,000 yards, and then I think it'll be Jim Miller with the 750.
Whew, man, that's nuts.
And if Alabama has that, I don't see anybody's going to beat him anyway.
If that happens, I'll get Tommy Reese, his name, tattooed on my arm.
Yeah, exactly. And so
that is quite a bold. I'll say this. I do think we'll make I think it's obvious they're going to make a concentrated effort to be a more physical team and run the football. That would be a lot of rushing yards. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if the top three rushers all had at least 500 yards.
Right.
Because I do think the distribution is going to be a little more evenly spread out. And I like this right here from what Richard's saying. Mm-hmm. Wow, 1,200 yards from Jam Miller. I'll be honest with you. I tend to lean that Jam Miller will lead the team in rushing yards.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying rushing attempts. I'm saying rushing yards.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Brock's another good one as well. Yeah.
My bold prediction is Malik Benson has over 1,000 yards, and my others, Caleb Downs becomes freshman All-American.
Yeah.
I would not doubt that one bit, especially the second one.
Exactly. Number three.
All right.
This is the SEC one. I feel like Arkansas is going to finish second in the West this year.
Ooh. I like that. Listen, I'm going to bring up their schedule.
Yeah.
So you got.
Yeah. I mean, KJ Jefferson's coming back. He's going to be healthy. I mean, he's probably top two, top three at least in the SEC in quarterbacks. You know, he's up there. And Rocket Sanders last year, I mean, he tore a lot of people up on the ground. So they got a really good 1-2 punch there. They got some issues to work out on the defense because they gave up a ton of yards and a ton of points. But if they put it all together, they're going to be a dangerous team, I feel like.
I like Arkansas. I like Sam Pittman. But, man, they play at LSU, at Ole Miss, and at Alabama. That's three losses right there. I mean,
yeah.
Then you think about the neutral site game with A&M. A&M is more talented than them. They got to play at Florida. Auburn's always tricky for those guys for some reason, and so is Missouri. So, while it has more to do with their schedule for me than what Arkansas is as a team, their schedule is just so tough, Jake. It's so tough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right. So, like I said, these are bold predictions I feel like may happen. So, I mean, it's a bold prediction. So,
let's put it this way. I think, for the most part, Alabama and LSU are considered the favorites in the West. If Alabama – so I know you already saying Arkansas finished second, but for the point of this question, if Alabama or LSU doesn't win the West, who wins it?
You're gonna put me on the spot.
Be bold. I just want you to think outside of Alabama or LSU, who would you pick?
I would have to say Ole Miss just because of their offense.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would probably go Ole Miss too. But it's tight with A&M because A&M's so talented, Jake. And I know we pick on Jimbo and the Bobby Petrino hire, but sooner or later, talent will take over in some aspect, and they get to play Alabama in College Station this season, so it gives them kind of a leg up. But Lennox says Auburn.
Oh wow!
God, I hope not. I hope not.
Yeah, please not. Oh Lord, I hate to. I'll Auburn when they're down.
What are we on? Number two now? Number two?
Number two. This is another bold one. Tennessee upsets Georgia and Knoxville and plays for the SEC championship game.
Wow.
I mean, the reason I'm saying that is because, honestly, and we picked on Georgia's schedule for so long. They don't have really any tough matchups. I mean, it's like a cakewalk. The week before, they play Ole Miss at home. I feel like Ole Miss is going to give them, they're going to struggle a little while in that game. They'll probably take over. But playing a physical game like that, then having to go to Knoxville the next week, I smell upset there.
Yeah. I wouldn't say I'd be shocked because it's been proven that Georgia struggles with a high flying offense, with a really good quarterback. It's all going to depend on Joe Milton, Jake. If Joe Milton is, he obviously has a big time arm. But can he be a consistent thrower of the football? I mean, we don't know for sure. I mean, I'm talking about throughout an entire season. So their schedule is so soft. Yeah, Lennox is right. That schedule is so soft. I mean, it's pathetic. But it's not really their fault. I mean, it kind of is. They schedule their non-conference opponents. But, I mean, they play the same conference opponents every year. That's not their fault.
Right. Yeah. There's just a bad look for the East of being so down for the last several years. So.
I mean, basically, it's been Georgia up until last season when Tennessee was good. And, and then Georgia got to host Tennessee. It was real rainy and wet the day that they played there in Athens. So that really hindered the Tennessee offense because of the way they like to attack opposing defenses. So Tennessee didn't really get the kind of opportunity they probably would have liked had that game been at home for them and it hadn't been raining. So, all right, I think we're down to your last one, Jake.
This is the last one for Bama. This is my bold prediction for Alabama. Alabama's defense finishes top 10 in overall defense, top 5 in turnovers, and holds every opponent at least to 20 points every game. So 20 points or less.
Mm-hmm. So nobody scores over 20.
Yeah. I'm that high on this defense this year.
Okay. Well, the first two,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they finished top 10 with Pete Golden as a right. defensive coordinator. So that's not shocking.
The turnovers, though, we haven't been in the top in turnovers in a long time, it feels like.
20 points. I mean, we play Texas, who returns 10 of 11 starters on offense. 10 of 11.
We had them the 19 last year, though.
Yeah, their quarterback was hurt, Jake.
I just it's a different team this year. I'm so high on this defense.
They're not a different team. They're a better team. I mean, I'm not trying to ride the coattail of Texas, but Jake, that game would have been different last year if. I mean, the truth is the truth. That game would have been different if Quinn Ewers doesn't get hurt. I'm not saying Alabama loses. I'm just saying the game would look a little different.
Yeah. But our defense is a lot
more. Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree the defense would be better. Mm-hmm. If Alabama held Texas to 20 points in week two, that would be the story of the early part of the season. Because – and –
If Alabama
and I'm not saying Texas would get a bunch more than 20. You know, 24 to 27 is probably what I was. I mean, between 20 and 27 is what I was thinking for them. So it's not too far off, but just 20 or less
that would be
an incredible showing that early in the season against an offense that is returning 10 of 11 starters.
Mm-hmm.
The only guy they lost was Robinson, the running back, who didn't do nothing against Alabama anyway.
Right.
Let's see here. I'm trying to think what's some other high powered offense. You know, Ole Miss is a pretty solid offense, but you know, for some reason Jackson Dart doesn't I think Jackson Dart's a really good player, but for some reason he doesn't threaten Alabama. You know, it's kind of one of those things that their offense is so much predicated on being able to establish a really good running game. And you saw late in that Alabama Ole Miss game, especially in the second half, when they shut down Judkins,
mm-hmm.
Ole Miss – Dart and Ole Miss really couldn't do much of anything offensively. So, and then you think about Jaden Daniels. What was that final score last year, 32-31 or something like that?
Yeah.
Of course, that was with an overtime touchdown. So,
yeah.
I don't guess that's too. Texas is the only one to me, really, that it's just so hard. And this, I mean, anybody's capable of getting hot against you. I mean, you know, I think back to like what Steven Garcia did back in 2010. And,
oh, my God.
You know, this those random guys who just mm-hmm. have their, you know, like the guy from A&M a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. What was his name? Calzone.
Yeah. Yeah. Calzone.
Played the game of his life.
Yeah. You know,
so that's a really good prediction because I think it's possible, but it's probably not likely. But that's what makes it a bold prediction.
Yeah, I mean, we may give up on 21 to Texas, and this that bold prediction don't stand. But it's still, you know, I feel like getting. I also said that because we get all of our tough games at home this year, thankfully. So, yeah, besides A&M and Auburn, so you know, I think Brian Denny's going to be loud in all of those games, and they could, you know, bring an offense to a screeching halt with those rowdy fans going loud in all those games for a couple of downs.
The big thing is getting a lot of these games at home. I mean, you get Texas at home, Ole Miss at home, LSU at home, Tennessee at home. So that definitely helps. But man, what did we give up to Tennessee last year? 52?
Yeah. Because we couldn't stop Jalen Hyatt.
Cut that by more than half, almost by two-thirds.
Yeah.
But certainly possible. It's totally different playing on the road. I mean, it really is.
And Lennon said Kelly from that one year from Ole Miss.
Yeah, but you know, Kelly was a pretty decent quarterback. When I think of Ole Miss quarterbacks that had a weird, that's Bo Wallace. Bo Wallace that one year over there in Oxford. I think about that. There's been others as well, but it's just crazy how, like, once every two or three years, some random quarterback who's really not that good has a career day against Alabama and pulls off an upset.
Yep, that's right. But you know,
Oh yeah, Jalen Hyatt's legit, and for some reason we decided to put DeMarco Helens on. I feel so bad for DeMarco Helens.
I know. Yeah, I do too. But we never got him any help that game at all.
That's pathetic.
Yeah.
But I want to give a prediction. It's kind of been talking about the Texas game a lot. But my prediction is that Alabama beats them by double digits. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think it's as close as what the scoreboard will indicate at the end. I think it's going to look a lot like what those old school Alabama beatdowns did. You know how Alabama used to open up with like Michigan, Wisconsin, you know, they're like in Dallas or something, and Alabama would win like, you know, 34-20 or something like that, or, you know, 38-21 or, you know, 34-17 or something like that. And it never really felt that close.
Right.
Like Alabama just hit him in the mouth for four quarters, and you know, you look up then the scoreboard and you're like, hey, it was that close.
Yeah.
That's how I feel like that game's going to go. And I know I'm kind of talking out both sides of my mouth with that, but with your bold prediction about Texas, but I'm not going to say I'd be shocked if we held them to 20 points or less, but I would be slightly surprised. I mean, when you return 10 of 11 starters on offense,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't help but be good. I don't care. Look what happened with Georgia and Ohio State. Look what Alabama did to Georgia in the SEC championship game. You never know what can happen, but I really feel like Alabama's going to dominate. I don't want to say dominate. I feel like Alabama's going to take care of Texas.
Yeah. Your prediction is more like 42-24 type deal, like a double
probably.
Digit.
Yeah, 38-24 or something like that. Right. Win by two touchdowns, and it really not even feel that close.
Yeah, and Richard said that his bold prediction is that we beat everyone by 14, so at least 14. So I like that one too. I feel like there's a chip on this team this year for all the talk that's been talked about. I mean, you know, honestly, nobody's given Alabama a chance in the media. I know they put us like third or fourth in the AP poll, but you know, I'd rather been like top 20, you know, like and just. Have that chip on your shoulder to play hard. And that's the biggest thing Saban's talked about year in, year out. You know, don't get complacent. Because once you become the number one team, there's a target on your back. And any slip up, and you're going to lose the game.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Jake, if Alabama comes out and takes care of Texas, you know, relatively easy, that whole week, everybody's going to be back on the Saban bandwagon and the Alabama bandwagon again.
Yep.
And it's going to make me sick to my stomach.
Yep. Rat poison. Saban will have all that to talk about. So, Mamba says, I want to see that Tennessee game with the tickets are so expensive. I feel like, you know, I feel like if LSU comes into town and that's for the West title, those tickets are going to be way up there. So.
All right, we're going to take one last question here before we wrap the show up, Jake. This is a good one. What do you guys believe are the weakest positions on offense and defense? His or the defensive line and the wide receivers?
I would say that, to me, that is the two weakest links. And, you know,
yeah, I would agree with you, Richard.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, it's a relative term. I don't think Alabama is bad in those areas.
Right.
But they're the weakest groups on the team.
You know, we don't have a Jerry Jeudy. We don't have a Devontae Smith at wide receiver. We don't have a Jameson Williams, but we have talent there. We just got to find a guy to step up and be a leader there. Like in third and long situations where we need a first down, he tells whoever the quarterback is, throw it to me. I'm going to be open. And I'm going to catch the ball and get us a first down. We got to have somebody to be a leader at wide receiver. And a defensive line, you know, you know, a lot of people talk bad about them, but I feel like the way, you know, Kevin Steele coaches defense, there's going to be a lot more impact with the defense line and to make some plays. And we talked about Stacy, like A-Day, a lot of the linebackers got a lot of stats, you know, a lot of tackles for loss. And you got to give credit to that defense line for that, because they're holding their blocks up to allow guys to get around the corner and to have a free rush on the quarterback. So if the defense linemen are doing their jobs, clogging holes and taking up two or three blocks from the opposing offensive line and allow a linebacker to get and make a big play, then they're doing their job per se.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Real quick, going to wrap. Texas fans talking smack. They're going to beat us by 21. I seen one Texas fan tweet today that Texas is going to drop 40 on Alabama. Okay.
Oh God. Okay. Good luck with that. Okay. We'll still win 42-40 if that's the case. I just no. But we have 4 to 6 foot 4 wide receivers and not confident. D-line is talented, but thin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. All right. All right, we're going to wrap it up, guys. Thank you. We've been going about an hour. Thank you so much for watching. If you're not already, make sure you subscribe to the channel on YouTube and hit that like, share, and subscribe. Jump in the comments. If you're watching the recorded version of this on YouTube, we'd appreciate all your inputs there. Thanks to the live chat. A lot of fun tonight answering some questions and kind of getting ready for the season, Jake. You know, tomorrow it'll be 10 days until kickoff, so I'm looking forward to it. Cannot wait. Been a lot of fun. We'll be back, I don't know, here in a few days. We'll let you guys know.
Yeah, but the live show will be back, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, and we'll get you pumped up and preview the Middle Tennessee State game. We'll get you fired up, ready to play, because we're going to be fired up. And we'll be wanting to play as well. So I wish we was in those uniforms, but, man, it's so fun to talk about things.
I don't. I die.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine watching from the couch.
Yeah, me too, honestly.
All right, guys. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for watching. We'll be back real soon. And until next time, Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
This episode is brought to you by Paycor, the HR and payroll software made for leaders. It's never been harder to recruit, hire, and engage workers. That's why HR leaders and frontline managers depend on Paycor for all things people management, from onboarding and performance reviews to compensation and benefits. Learn more at paycor.com/leaders. That's paycor.com/leaders.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face.
Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.